kitchen for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Teacher, who was a Lindin Berlin?
On March 22nd, 1930, a baby boy was born. His name was Lyndon Oscar Findling, a native Bohemian son. Little did he know as he played on the street that he was born to lead his people from segregation and to be the father of our nation. He went to London to become a lawyer at the youthful age of 18. When he returned, destiny called him to the political scene.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, August 27th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, C.A. Nuri. I suppose I have a guest today. Alan Russell is supposed to be here. He is a musician who wanted one or two of his songs play and we go through that narrative of his journey in terms of being a musician, especially being a hotelier. But he didn't show up. That means I can't go to Plan B. Plan B means that I'm going to read something into the record. If you wish, you can call in and participate in this conversation. The other day, I saw an article in the Tribune that he sent to Erin, and Erin's still here because she has an errand to run right now. And I said, man, read this before you go, right? It's an article featuring the current Prime Minister, Mr. Davis. And he was given a narrative on his journey to be prime minister. And if I was a politician, me, I wouldn't have said this to the public, but politicians are different. He said it is a campaign era we're in, and I'm sure this is one of those campaign platforms that he was using. But I was uneasy about his frankness. And our prime minister is supposed to be frank. Our prime minister is supposed to give information that the public is supposed to digest. But I just wouldn't have done it. I just wouldn't have done it. And one or two of you might have missed it, right? And hopefully I can do an analysis on that particular article. And Erin, were you able to pick that up?
Yeah, I found it.
Okay, I'm going to have it read and set it in the record. Maybe you didn't get to read it, but it's something worth reading, all right? Something worth digesting, something worth doing a critical analysis on it. Like, what was your intention? Why did you even mention this? Is why I bring this up. I would. I'm not even going in a further more preamble with it. I'll allow Erin to read that for me. Go ahead.
Morning. We're going to read from this Tribune article. Law partners held me back. The date is Monday. That's this week, Monday, the 25th of August, 2025. Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis has revealed that former Prime Ministers Hubert Ingram and Perry Christie opposed his initial bid to enter frontline politics. A move, he says, derailed an early promise of a nomination. Addressing a PLP leadership module on Saturday, Mr. Davis said Sir Lyndon Findling had pledged him the candidacy for the newly created Marco City seat in Grand Bahama in the 1970s. According to his speech obtained by the Tribune, that collapsed after a candidate's committee vote tied and Sir Lyndon cast the deciding ballot against him. Quote, I'll never forget the day I asked him what happened, close quotes. He replied with his infamous line, quote, they ain't tell you, close quotes. I had no idea what he meant. It turned out that Christie and Ingram, both of whom I deeply respected, had opposed my nomination. They believed I should stay in the firm and out of politics, close quotes, Mr. Davis said. At the time, the three were business partners in the law firm Christie, Ingram & Co. Davis said he stepped back from frontline politics to focus on law while working behind the scenes on campaigns for both men. He returned in 1991 when Sir Lyndon urged him to step in for Cat Island, fought internal resistance and rallied support after again hearing the line, quote, they ain't tell you, close quotes. quote, just bring your people, close quotes, he said Salindin told him, adding that he then secured the meetings list and mobilized backers. Mr. Davis framed the episodes as proof that politics is unpredictable and unforgiving. I need to pause. There's a preponderance of thoughts piling up in the back of my head. I just need to breathe for a moment. Mr. Davis framed the episodes as proof that politics is unpredictable and often unforgiving, arguing that persistence and purpose turn setbacks into stepping stones. He noted he entered Parliament as a backbencher, was widely tipped for cabinet when the PLP returned in 2002, but Mr. Christie denied him a position. He instead chaired the National Insurance Board. Mr. Davis noted that even after he rose within the party, advancement did not come easily. By 2009, he was elected deputy leader of the PLP with what he described as, quote, a gentleman's agreement, close quotes.
Like I said, I wouldn't have volunteered this information, but go ahead. This is for a reason. It's political season, and this is part of the campaign.
That he would eventually succeed Mr. Christie as party leader. Instead, he remained in the deputy's role until the PLP's 2017 defeat. A stretch, he said, taught him resilience, patience, and the importance of staying true to his purpose, even when the path to leadership seemed uncertain. Can you hear the forest? Can you see the forest for the trees?
I heard violent. I'm not sure if you heard the violin playing in the background.
Do you see the forest? I mean, I've never seen the forest in Exuma.
No?
I'm just saying.
Okay. Oh, I see where you're going.
You couldn't see the forest or the trees, how you could see where I'm going?
I see where you're going now.
Pivoting to the party's direction, we return to the article. We return to the article, Law Partners Held Me Back.
Go ahead.
Davis said he stepped back from frontline politics to focus on law while working behind the scenes on campaigns for both men. He returned in... Oh, I apologize. I lost my way in the forest. Mr. Davis framed episodes as proof that politics is unpredictable and often unforgiving, arguing that persistence and purpose turn setbacks into stepping stones. He noted he entered Parliament as a backbencher, was widely tipped for cabinet, and when the PLP returned in 2002, but Mr. Christie denied him a position, he instead chaired the National Insurance Board. Mr. Davis noted that even after he rose within the party, advancement didn't come easily. By 2009, he was elected deputy leader of the PLP with what he described as a, quote, gentleman's agreement, close quotes, that he would eventually succeed Mr. Christie as party leader. Instead, he remained in the deputy's role until the PLP's 2017 defeat, a stretch he said taught him resilience, patience, and the importance of staying true to his purpose, even when the path to leadership seemed uncertain. Pivoting to the party's direction, Mr. Davis said the PLP was founded to serve, not to operate as a private club or inside circle. He called for a recommitment to dignity, discipline, and keeping promises to ordinary people. He said the leadership standard he expects is exacting. Quote, servant leadership is not soft. It is hard. It is raw. It is unglamorous. It means taking calls you don't want to take. It means walking into rooms where you're not welcome and still doing the work. It means standing up when it would be easier to sit down and let someone else carry the load. It means telling the truth, especially when it costs you, close quotes. He closed by telling PLP hopefuls to measure themselves by the trust they build, not by applause or titles, quote, let us keep it, close quotes, he said. Quote, let us carry it with care. Let us make this party worthy of our people again. Let us be servants and let us be leaders, close quotes. End of article.
See, I wanted to analyze this, right? My guest is here, actually, downstairs. I'm going to run downstairs to pick them up. But this is my commentary I want to give you. Mm-hmm. From what this testimony is or says, it seems as if, in my words, former Prime Minister Perry Christie, former Prime Minister Hubert Ingraham, had a problem with our current Prime Minister. And they infiltrated and made it hard, difficult for him to get into politics and by extension to be Prime Minister. And that is worth commentary. That is worth some investigation. That is worth inviting the former Prime Ministers on any show and ask, why you blocked Mr. Davis? What did you see or did not see? What was your intention? Why would Davis bring this up? To make me have some kind of thoughts in the back of my head, Aaron, to ask what's happening.
I'm stuck on the why would Davis have brought this up, right?
Yes.
See, because what if your positing is not accurate,
yes,
right?
Yes.
What if this was a succession plan,
yes,
right? What if they say, no, we need somebody in the firm. Mm-hmm. We need somebody to run the firm while we're busy
no, I score that.
Run the country, right? What if that's right? What if it wasn't blocking, right? But it was a plan. Then who is he talking to? Then why is he saying this, and who is he talking to?
He's saying it for somebody. It's a message to somebody, because he also said, even when I came out of the practice, I became deputy prime minister, somebody was blocking him. Why was there continuous blocking? Even when I said, I'm part of politics now. Why continue to block me? Why put me in the back bench? Why not put me as a minister? Why put me as a chairman? He said, suggesting this again and again and again. And nobody picked it up to ask the question, why were they blocking the good prime minister? That is worth some investigation, some commentary, because now it left me now speculating. Why put me to speculate? Anyway, we're going to take this break now. Let me go pick up my guests downstairs. We're talking music. If you want to stay, I'm not sure if you're going on the errand. We'll have this conversation in between the music playing and have people speculate.
Unfortunately, I need to go and talk to a raccoon about some gnats.
I understand. So let me go downstairs and pick up my guest, Alan Russell. He's going to be playing some music, and we'll see how that goes. We'll be right back. Guardian Radio AM, we'll see you anyway.
Watch you shake up that body.
Deep in the bush.
But you need that energy.
Deep in the bush.
If you want to dance all night,
what you mean he take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want bullet hair. You say that, you know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in junior phone?
Oh, he there cause the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install, and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas, so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Rona. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologists can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is how we do it.
Get ready to kick off the new school year with a bang. It's the Guardian Media Group and Rotary Club of South Ocean's Back to School Jamboree. Friday, August 29th in the parking lot of the Nassau Guardian in Oaksville, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Join us for a day of fun, games, and back to school excitement. We've got something for everyone, from bouncing castles and face painting to health screenings, hair grooming, and giveaways. Meet some of your favorite local businesses and get ready for the new school year with all the essentials. We'll have school supply vendors and local eateries with delicious treats. Don't miss out on the fun. The Guardian Media Group and Rotary Club of South Ocean's Back to School Jamboree. Friday, August 29th at the Nassau Guardians parking lot, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's the perfect way to celebrate the end of summer and get excited for a great school year. See you here.
Brought to you by The Walking Clinic, Boss, Alive, FML, Asa H. Pritchett, Nassau Agencies, Original Parties, Caribbean Bottling Limited, Purity, Ari the Artist, Little Caesars, Marcos, Wendy's.
I am here to tell you something that you may not know. We are having a party.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, this is C.A. Nuri, and I am your host for the day. We're on our last segment here. My guest finally reached. I'm glad he's here. This is Alan Russell, who's a musician in the Bahamas, and he's here to play one and two of his music and also to give a narrative of his career. Right now, he's in the process of sending me one or two of his YouTube links so I can send to the producer to play. So that's what we're doing now. So bear with me as I have this conversation with Alan. So whilst you are doing that, Alan, send me one or two of your songs so I can forward it to the producer. I'll go to the text and just read that from that last segment. Let's see. Okay, this text says, sounds like normal politics to me. How many people mad because Davis didn't do what they wanted? I don't know. I just found it odd that our prime minister brought up this conversation now, right? Is he saying that he's at odds with the former prime ministers, right? Or is he? Or do we know why and wherefore? I just found it odd. Let's go to the caller while we get all those songs to me. No, you send it to me directly to my WhatsApp. Okay, go ahead, caller. Guy in Mary M.
Mary.
Hey, you're live.
Good morning to Mr. Russell. Whenever you come in.
Listen, yes.
I mean, when you come on there. On this topic, what you were talking about earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just my suggestion. They leave us to speculate because nobody, I know, no reporters asking what he mean, and the prime minister what he mean, and when he say what he say, right? You think they know he was Casella, so that might be one of the reasons.
And then I don't. Casella is such a harsh word, right?
I mean, he would have been a kind of. Listen to me, Brave Davis and this PLP company, my new day government. They doing things, all right? It's how they going about serving us. They're secretive, and he turned out like, for what we expected from him, just like the Minister of National Security, remember being a smart lawyer and still carrying on like a defense lawyer, like he ain't there working for us. The Prime Minister turned out to be like a failure. And him talking about what former Prime Minister Lyndon, what he experienced with them when he wanted nomination. I believe that's the reason why he treated Monique Tinlin like that when she wanted the nomination. This, like he said, I get from it, it's spiteful pettiness. Like they say, it makes strange bad fellows in politics.
And Papa, I'll interject and say,
the reason why Christie didn't give him or make him a cabinet minister, Mr. Davis had a big case going on with 90 notes. He couldn't be in the cabinet right then.
One minute for me, proper.
Huh?
Our prime minister suggested that he had issues. He said he deserved a cabinet post. He didn't deserve.
Christie was the prime minister.
I'm not sure. Well, Christie was the prime minister. In the article, he suggested that he deserved a cabinet spot. He didn't give a narrative that he wanted to be nominated. He was get blocked. He then said he finally get to come in to run into politics, and he deserved a cabinet spot, and he got blocked. And then he became chairman of the I think that's water and sewage. I think that article said, and he got blocked again. He said it's continuously getting blocked.
The prime minister, the former prime minister, didn't know what Mr. Davis would return. Mr. Davis about deception, and then he get this.
No. See, I got to stop you now.
That's my.
No, you can't say Mr. Davis about. No, that's the prime minister. We got to have some respect for the title, and what you're saying is salacious. And I ask forgiveness from Mr. Davis, and it surely didn't mean that. But my concern is, and Alan, I'm still not getting the what's up for it. My concern is, why bring such a narrative up so close to the election? Who was the message for? Was the message for the former prime ministers? Was the message for people in his cabinet now who are interested in becoming leader of the party? Because, you know, this should be, Mr. Davis was 70-odd. This would be his last election after this general election, right? And I wanted to know, that is it a message to those people vying to be leadership, that this journey is going to be a long road, right? So I find that interesting. So at this present time, I have Alan Russell here. We're having some issues with his phone being transferred. But in the meantime, what I'll do is have my interview with him and introduce him formally. And then hopefully, send me not the link anymore. It's your name. What is your name?
Alan Russell
for YouTube. And then I'll have my producer look for it in the background. So we'll start our interview. You come closer to the mic. You have been doing music for a while.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly.
So give me a narrative of what you're known for, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, good morning. My name is Alan Russell, Bohemian entertainer. I started at a young age. We started back at the Palace. That's back from the 70s. Most of you young generation will know the Palace, but the elderly generation will know about the Palace. That's where Snapshot used to play back there. We used to do like competitions and stuff. We had like a talent shows come on, similar to Apollo Theater, where they have in New York. And we started from there performing as a group called the Candy Boys. You know, and from that, we went on to like Cabaret Theater, etc., and other little things. Also, from there, the group grown and everyone started having their own issues and they broke up, but I was the writer and the producer and everything, so I keep writing and, you know, performing. And I end up by Mr. Eddie Roll, Exotic Sound Recording Studio. Most of you know Eddie Roll from Bahamian. He used to produce for them. He used to produce for KB also and a lot of other artists. Yeah, he's one of the top ones. Eddie passed away, so rest in peace. Also, from then, my writing, I sat with him also, and from there, I went out and introduced. My number one song was in the country, My Bohemian Girl, was a hit. Most of you guys in Sky should know that, My Bohemian Girl. And I did also a song called Baby after that. I did a couple gospel, you know, because I came out of the church, so I always wanted to do that also. And then I did She Want, that was also a hit also. I did Beverly, Stop Liking Man, that was a jokey.
The song. Stop Liking Man I'm familiar with. Actually was played on various political shows and in general on the radio. So that was very popular.
Go exactly. Ahead. Yeah. I Want to Love You. I did. So Eden Again. Yeah, The Girl Is Mine. I Want to Love You. Sweet John Canoe. Everyone should know that. That the mix from the artist, Bohemian artist. Oh, Eddie Minnis. Everyone should know that.
Okay.
That was the Eddie Minnis song, but I remixed it with his permission. And, you know, that came ahead also.
So you brought a CD, and give that to the producer. So hopefully now we're able to hear some of your music and give some commentary about some of your music. Exactly. So we're just getting that up and operational at this present time.
Right.
Have you been on any big stage or big national stage that you perform?
I've been up in New York. I did a big show in New York.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my big performances I ever did. You know, that was experience.
So where were you in New York? And what
was
it
in
think?
Brooklyn?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, someone invited me up there. One of my members, he lived up there with a group also, and he invited me to perform.
What did you perform?
I performed, my main song was The Way She Make Me Feel, that. And I did that for them.
Okay.
Also, I did a gospel. Well, I opened up at a gospel first. It's like a prayer thing first. They show respect, you know? Yeah.
So, okay, now we get this music. Let's see how it sounds now. Good.
My appetite, then my heart's right. How could my baby do this to me? Baby, please don't leave me. I'm begging, I'll make this right. Baby, can't you see I'm begging? Come back to me before tonight. I call on Tuesday, I call on Wednesday. She didn't.
Okay, so what's the name of this particular song? Give me the narrative on that. Have we moved to another one?
This one is called Baby. Mm-hmm. I was telling you about earlier. Yeah, this I did with Eddie Roll, like Exotic Sound. It was a big hit.
A big hit?
A big hit, yeah. Baby.
Let's go to the next one there, Kermit. And as we go along, give me some commentary on each song.
Okay.
So whenever you're ready, Kermit, I appreciate it.
Hey. I hope you get a new album now.
Wake up Michael, go wake up James Brown. Tell Bob Marley and send Elvis this sound with John Canoe. Sweet John Canoe.
Boxing Day and New Year's night. We're going downtown just to see the sight. Roots, makers, and family coming out first. But while he in socks and
take... I always like a good junk new song, right? How many CDs do you have?
All together, I have about 10 different CDs.
10 different CDs.
Yeah,
and which CD is this?
This is the best of Alan Russell.
The best of Alan Russell.
Right.
And can this CD be purchased anyplace?
Yes, sir. It could be at HitSpot. You can get your copy there. It's available there.
Okay. And do you have any new CD or this is the latest one you have?
No. This is not. This is one of the one I did recently. I have a new one just I released called Gambling.
Gambling.
That's the...
And that's what you're doing the tour on?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'll tell Kermit this, as I continue to interview you, right, and get some more insight on your musical career, switch the CD, because we wanted to hear this new CD
exactly.
that you have,
right.
Gambling. Mm-hmm. And so we'll hear that. So why did you write the song Gambling?
I write the song Gambling because, you know, not general Bahamian, but the whole world's gamble. You know, that's our thing. Everyone is taking a chance in life, trying to get a better life and better break, I could say. And it just came to me. You know, I say, hey, you're always gambling, man. You people always gambling all around the world. And it'll be a good song. And then the number came to me. I play 6452.
Listen to it now.
I ain't gonna do this no more. I play 6452. I ain't gonna do this no more. I play 6452. I ain't gonna do this no more. I was gambling. I was gambling.
I was gambling. How has this song been received so far?
So far, you know, anything new, take a little time. But right away, I get good response for it, from it. You know, I perform it at Fox Hill Day on the grand opening. For some Emancipation Day.
Okay.
Yeah, I perform it and I get a good feedback for a new song.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, people don't know like that, but I get a good feedback of it. And it's growing, you know. People really love it. I get a lot of response when I go. They say, people say, 6452. I love that song, you know. So it's coming on good.
So how do you get your music out? So you have a CD, you have the demo, right?
Uh-huh.
How do you get it into mainstream to get behemoths to listen to it, to critique it, to enjoy it?
Okay, good question. Well, the DJs do a lot of good job for me. I pass to the DJs, you know, to different parties, events, etc. And they move it between them and the radio station. I get good feedback. And then you get the media right here also. Mm-hmm. So between those three things, I get it out moving. And word of mouth also, you know, but on TikTok, I mean, TikTok move like lightning.
And you mentioned TikTok, right?
Exactly.
I've seen that you are now producing a number of short videos.
Exactly, I am. You know, but I work at the hotel, and I'm always singing for the guests. And they love it, you know. It has to be, they come to see something different, you know, and I just give them a little bit of everything, especially my new stuff. I throw it in. I give them some of the song they know, you know, like... love song, love ballads they know, you know, by some of the American artists that do that. And I'll switch my Bohemian right in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, hey, I love the genre even better.
So you do covers and then you switch into your Bohemian act and
exactly,
make sure they get appreciated.
Exactly. That's what I do, you know. So keep it real.
And you're a performer.
Exactly,
right?
Yes, sir, I am.
And like you said, you work in tourism.
I work in tourism.
And high-end tourism, too.
Of course.
And you are able to perform your music at work. How is the guests embracing your music?
They love it. Good question again. They actually come looking for me. They, you know, you talk to the guy, say, well, who sing this song? And the guy comes, well, the guy work right here.
Mm-hmm.
They say, I got to find him. They come looking for me. Sing that song for me, a little piece of song. And I say, are you sure? They say, yeah. And I... go right off and they come dancing and shaking and hollering and all that stuff. And that keeps spreading every time. It just keeps coming, you know, constantly.
Out of all of your work,
uh-huh.
which song would be near and dear to you? Say, boy, I always like this. This is capture me. I perform this no matter what.
What will always work? My Bohemian Girl.
My Bohemian Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My Bohemian
That's
Girl.
That's a go-to.
That's a go-to.
That's a go-to.
That always work. You know, people just love that.
Okay. Let me have Kermit cue up another song and play that as we continue our conversation. Because I want people to appreciate your music.
Exactly.
And get access to hearing the music so they can go looking for you, right? Exactly. And you say, if I go to where can I find music?
You go to Hitspot, you could find Hitspot. My music, yeah.
And just ask for?
Alan Russell.
Yeah.
And they have it there for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kermit, play me another song here, please.
Whoa.
She act like she can't kill a fly, you see. She act like she is one of them dignities. With her head up high and her bottom out, her hairstyle fits like I never see. And when she dress up, man, you can't compete. There's no woman like this in history. My Bohemian girls, my Bohemian girls, they make me go ooh all over again. We can't do without them, oh, we need them.
You know when I have the producer dancing, you should see Kermit. Kermit actually dancing.
So I told you that song. I told you that song.
And you're saying that is your go-to song.
Yeah, anytime.
Anytime you sing that, the people get up and dance.
Hold it, that goes for Foreigner or Bohemian now.
Yeah.
Because you see your producer, he's doing that a while ago.
Yeah, I see that.
All right.
So give me a rundown of all the songs that you've produced. You said you have 10 CDs. How many CDs?
Yeah, 10 CDs out there.
Okay. When did you first started writing again?
Oh, I started writing like from... early 70s.
From 1970s?
No, early 70s. Yeah, because remember, I started with a group called the Candy Boys.
I can picture that group. That's more like a break dancing type thing. They wearing bow tie and
more like New Editions group.
New Editions.
Because we brought from the Jackson 5, watching the Jackson 5. You know, we watched them, The Temptation. And I had that idea, I could put a Bohemian group like that. Mm-hmm. That was my whole, concept of it.
So you were the leader of that group?
I was the leader. I was the oldest member of the group. And we was on the street, man. I was on the street and I said, hey, you got no chair. So, and I had a bunch of guys behind me.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I wonder if I turn this into a singing group, would it work? And that's what I actually did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but guess by again from the Jackson 5s, watching The Temptation and New Editions, and we put it together.
So... back then in the early 70s, what type of songs you sang? You sang your own music
We used to do other artist songs like the Jackson 5 because we were young little boys then.
Yeah.
No Audition songs, Temptation, My Girl, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did them.
And where would you perform then?
At the Palace.
Oh, okay.
You remember the old Palace?
Wow. No, I don't know where the Palace is.
Oh, that was, Palace. That's when Snapshot was around. Remember the band Snapshot?
No, I don't know the band.
Pat Carey. Lovely.
Yeah, I know Lovely.
He was the lead singer there.
Love Me by Lovely.
Exactly, the song.
I know that song.
Right, that's the song. Well, anyway, that was the top band in the country then. They used to perform there, and they had a competition every Saturday. It's similar to the show they had in Apollo, back in New York called Apollo Theater.
Yeah.
It was based on that same thing. So competition, all the entertainers who want to compete will go down there and audition. And we went there as a young group. It was like, they were like 6, 10, 12, and I was about 14 then also.
Yeah.
And we went and we entered and we was nominated.
Nice.
And we went our show also.
So from there, what happened from there? It was a boy band,
Right.
And how did you branch off to singing your own song?
Okay, good question again. As the guys them grow, everyone had their own ambition. And it became unruly, And so I said, okay, everyone, y'all want to do your thing? I wish you all the best. But I keep writing and I went on and keep performing. And I end up to a place, a studio called Eddie Roll Exotic Sound.
Mm-hmm.
A new producer who started producing me and grooming me also. You understand? And so from there, I started my first gospel album. And he said, you're Bohemian, you need to stick with your Bohemian music. And he invited me to Junkanoo Sound. I said, wow, it really sounds good with me. And from then, I just was writing. And doing everything with him.
So you had a stint of gospel music.
Exactly. Album.
Various gospel songs. Uh-huh. You have an album?
A gospel album.
What's that album called?
Called The Lord, I'm Your Servant.
The Lord, I'm Your Servant.
Yeah.
And then from there, you transition to a Junkanoo sound.
Yeah. I try the Bohemian music.
The rake and scrape music.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't like it at first, but I try to say, you keep telling me, you can't run from your own nationality. So I say, that's true. I'm a Bohemian. He said, try it. And it came out good. My Bohemian Girl is the first one I did.
Yeah.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Then Baby came behind. I like that. You see, I say, keep boosting me up. Then I start writing Beverly,
mm-hmm.
all like that, you know. Look how she walk and wine. I want to love you. You eating again.
You eating again?
You eating again. You know, like Benjamin, everyone like eat.
Yeah,
so I look at it, I say, that'll be a good song too. You're always eating. You're always eating. People that's eating. And I wrote a song called You Eating Again. Also, you know, I want to love you again. I wrote that. And FOMO. Okay.
Okay. And let's see. I have the producer play another song now.
And then you smile and speak and walk that way. I turn right around and look at you that day. I want to love you till the morning come. Want to love you when the evening done. I want to love you. Girl, I want to love you. I want to love you till the morning comes. Want to love you when the evening done. I want to love you. Girl, I want to love you.
I want to love you.
I want to love you.
Is this a new album or this is...
No, that's on the same old Best Violin.
Ah.
That's not a new album.
Uh-huh.
I want to love you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice one also. I did. And also a nice one on it called Ting-a-ling-a-ling. The guests love that also.
Ting-a-ling-a-ling?
On that same album.
Look for Ting-a-ling-a-ling, Kermit, while you're there. And play it whenever you come across Ting-a-ling-a-ling.
Yeah.
And you said the guests love that.
Oh, they love that.
So I see a number of guests dancing with you.
Always. Always. Constantly.
Is there a place for Bohemian music to be played in the hotel mainstream? Because, you know, I've been critiqued saying, man, these hotels want to play their own American sound,
good,
right?
Good.
And I want to know, with your music and you performing,
mm-hmm.
To be a show
right
every day,
mm-hmm.
Bohemian music.
Right. That's an excellent question. I love that. You know, we've been pushing the hotel manager a long time about getting Bohemian music in there, right? And it was like a long fight. And this, we had a manager came in who made it different from foreign. A mm-hmm. foreigner came in and made it different. All our Bohemian manager didn't exactly want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't want to play the Bohemian music in the hotel.
So the Bohemian managers block you, but the foreign manager.
That's, yeah. So I say, wow, a foreigner to come in and make it happen. And she asked my music play in the hotel right now, straight through, or the whole album. The same one that I give him?
Yeah.
Or give you, yeah. It's playing.
When you say playing, playing where? I mean, over the PA system?
It's playing over the PM system, straight through.
Man, that's an accomplishment, because I know where you work. You work in like a high-end,
exactly.
four-star...
You can call the name. Ocean Club Four Seasons,
yes.
Top of the line.
And the management, the executive management decided to say, hey, we can make sure Alan Russell music
is
played.
And, you know, I love to call this lady name. She named Gemma. Beautiful lady and nice, you know. She said, yes, of course, the Heyman music should be playing here, number one, and I'm going to do it. And not only my music, but all like KB... D-Mark, and other Bohemian, Funky D, Gino D. You know, it's a whole variety.
Yeah.
She actually made that happen. And I've been there for years. And you've been there also.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, and we never do that. So that's a big change.
That's a big change.
To make a big difference.
We have a caller calling in now. Let me get the caller to engage. And go ahead, caller. Guy in real ear.
You see, how you doing?
Doing well. How you doing?
Hey, do me a favor. Ask your guests for me, right? Which one is the most popular request? Which artist is the most popular request for the tourists? Elon, Moxie, or KB, or Ronnie? Which one is the most popular between the tourists?
That's a good question. You know, they don't really...
Okay, second thing, right?
Uh-huh.
The old Ronnie or the new Ronnie? Because you know they're two different Ronnies.
Yeah,
you
know, two different Ronnies. Okay, they
don't... Thank you very much, Colin.
Okay, that's a good question. But, you know, the guests don't really, you know, compare them. They love it so much. They love all. They don't say, well, I love KB better or this one better. You know?
They just want to hear Bohemian music.
They just want to hear Bohemian music. And once it's good, they say, well, that artist is, I love this music. But they don't compare them. They don't compare them, not at all.
You use a words, once is good.
Right.
What do you mean by that?
When I say once is good, the music is, it's like touching, makes sense. Something would make sense. They love things like that with kid. You know, trigger them off.
But music with stories?
Yeah, you know, Bohemian, we write stories anyway. Most of our writing is about some story. Just because she fought all the meat, etc., you mm-hmm. know. Stuff like that. So, yeah, they love things like that. They don't compare to artists.
Okay.
Once it's good, they're going to, hey.
They're going to listen to it.
You get a feedback. Yeah, they sit in the lobby and listen to it.
Do you get a lot of tourists wanting to buy your work?
Yeah, they ask me.
Especially when no one realizes that you are there on site.
exactly. They say, well, where can I find this music, this song, my particular song? And the guy comes and says, well, the guy works right here, you know, and mm-hmm. I bring it for them.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, Kermit, play your next song there for me, please. Good.
On my way, I laugh and I laugh all that day. This young girl shout out to her boyfriend and say, you better stop liking man, don't talk me to death, cause I on your run.
Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, giddy up.
Yes, giddy up.
You better stop liking man, don't talk me to death, cause I on your run.
Listen up, listen up, listen up, listen up, listen up, listen up, listen up.
Everything I do,
the monkey he won't do. When he turn around, he won't turn around too. If I mess up, he gon' mess up too. And this one tell him what I do. You better
stop liking man,
don't talk me to death.
Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up.
Listen up, listen up, listen up, listen up, listen up. Listen up, everybody!
Actually, this is my favorite song by you, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, actually, this is my favorite song. Because I always say the word, giddy up, giddy up. Okay. And when I'm in the car, I play on the radio, right? Mm-hmm. And the children hear this particular song. And they hear me start saying, giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, giddy up. No, listen up.
They get off.
They get off. Yeah, so where you know this person from? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love it. I love it. Yeah, I love it.
I love it. It's a jokey one, you know. And mind you, people take it out of text because it's, when I say stop liking man, right? It's mean you stop watching other person mm-hmm. and do what you have to do for yourself, mm-hmm. really, you know. Mm-hmm. That's a positive bio, but now people just run without a vision.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I keep it real.
And it's part of our behemoth vernacular, too. Yeah. I mean, stop, like you say, stop watching me.
Yeah, you don't have to watch me. Do your thing.
Do your thing.
You know, and you can accomplish the same thing or even better. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can plan to continue writing? I mean, of course you plan to continue writing. But you, like I say, you're a tourism person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Do you plan to have this writing songs, performing songs as a part of your life, a part of your career, like juxtapose parallel to what you're doing now?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I love writing. I love creating to bring something new to the table. Or I can imagine how God created us, how you feel, you know, when you create us. So I have that feeling like when I create something and people could sing it back to me, you know, it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling. So I love that. Yeah, I'll continue writing.
I love the producer cue up another song so we can play that so we can enjoy your music, you know. Do you have any favorite Bohemian artist other than yourself that you say, man, I really like his work. His work inspired me, you know, to go forward. I'm influenced by this particular artist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question again. Not to imitate, but to love the music. Yeah, I love KB. KB been bringing energy to the table for a long time. He's an excellent writer also. I love him. I love D-Mac.
Mm-hmm.
D-Mac, he's awesome also. I worked with him before. At least he gave me a opportunity before on stage, you know. I like Gino D. You know, I love his song also. We love them. And I love Moxie's song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love, who else out there? You have Abby. I love him also.
You like storytellers?
Yes.
All these people doing that. Sorry.
Pat Ewan, right?
Ramin.
Pat Ramin. From Freeport. Yes. Eddie Minnis. I like storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Who tell a story? You know, it's awesome. I love that.
So let's hear the song right now.
What I want to do, this gal is a pie. I ain't gonna tell no lie. This gal is a pie, she's single, don't ask me why. This gal is a pie, I ain't gonna tell no lie. No man, no children, oh my, my. Oh, my sweet coconut pie. Oh, geez, sweet as my lemon pie. Oh, he's sweet, sweet, juicy pie. Oh, my pie. I said, hello, how do you do?
I love pie.
You
like pie. I like pie.
I like pie, yeah. Everyone loves pie.
Everybody loves pie.
Yeah. Pie was a good song also.
What inspires you to write? Like, how do you conjure up your music? Say, well, this is what I'm going to write. Mm-hmm. This is going to become a song. Where do you be? What state of mind do you be in?
First of all, I have to be peace of mind. I can't have no hate, no jealousy, nothing. I have to be really relaxed. That's how my song comes to me. You know, every artist is different, but I have to be relaxed. That's why I'm always pleasant and happy and never try, you know, be upset. Yeah, and I get my ideas by watching people, really. I see a beautiful girl. I say, ooh, she's beautiful. She looks like a pie. Bam.
That's a song.
And that's a song. You see? Simple as that.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, simple as that.
I like that.
And I say, for instance, I say the song, like I say, I want you to hear ting-a-ling-a-ling. I say, okay, the phone is go ting-a-ling-a-ling.
Mm-hmm.
Hear the phone ring. Ting-a-ling-a-ling. It's the telephone ring.
Do that's something a cappella.
That's the chorus.
No, you do something a cappella. Let me hear it. Let me hear it.
Okay, a cappella. I play 6-4-5-2. I'm going to do this no more. I play 6-4-5-2. I'm going to do this no more. I play 6-4-5-2. I can do this no more. I was gambling. I scratch my head and hold my back. When I hear the number call that way, I almost drop with a heart attack. When they say it didn't come that way, I play 6-4-5-2. Yeah, yeah. I can do this no more. I was gambling.
I'm impressed because I can't do that, right? But I can try.
Yeah, do that.
I was gambling.
Go ahead.
I was gambling.
Sound good to me.
I used to sing in primary school. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, high school I'd finish with, but I mean, I think I still have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
I think. So Kermit, give one more. Tingling? You want to hear that one?
Yeah.
You want to see that tingling one? Or you want to see that tingling one? That on the CNC? You want to
That's on a new album.
On a new album. Change the city. Look for that tingling at the same time, exactly. Right? So you mentioned that your music could be found at a hit spot.
Yes, sir.
You have CDs on your person that people come and look for you and say, okay, I could bring you a copy.
Yeah.
In terms of giving advice to young musicians or musicians in general who want to get into the business,
right?
But finding it frustrating to get people to play their music,
yes.
What do they do?
Good question. You keep hitting this good question. It's hard because even like, for me, sometimes people turn you down, right? You can't get discouraged. You know, you can't get discouraged. The meaning is keep trying, be patient, you know, and try and make your music strong as possible, you know, because most of the radio station, if your music is weak, they ain't gonna play it. I can be real with you. Mm-hmm. You know, they can tell you they ain't strong enough, you know, and all that stuff. And that can discourage you. You know, if you're not strong enough, I'm giving up, I ain't getting nowhere.
So do you start off with the hook first, or you start or the chorus first, or do you start with the words and then you build in the chorus?
Yeah, I start with the hook first. I don't know why. My chorus always comes to me first in every song.
Mm-hmm.
Once I get a hook line, the song is over.
That's the song. Yeah.
That's the song right now.
And then you build it. Let's listen to this one.
The way she walk, whine and skip. Mind this gal, got no curves and hips. The telephone ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, telephone ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, it's the telephone ring. Man, she called day and night, asking me if I'm all right. Said, yes, baby, I'm all alone. But you keep calling my telephone.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
I like how you use just common things.
Yeah.
Like regular things, everyday things. Exactly. And you just make a whole song out of it.
That's the difference. The things would work right there in front of you. That's what people adopt to right away. You know, simple things. That's what catch you.
Why don't you do R&B and rap?
I try it before. You know, I tried it before. So that because I used to write our rhythm and blues straight through. I started with a song called Michael J. That was my first song I ever wrote. A tribute to Michael Jackson.
But why move to Bohemian music or the Bohemian sound?
I get, you know, you get that feeling. I'm a Bohemian, not only because I'm a Bohemian, but it started to take to me.
Mm-hmm.
It really take to me. And I say, hey, it's my culture. And I love it. I could put that same R&B feeling in that same working scrape. It might be that smoothest, you know.
I know KB started out with these R&B songs. And actually, a number of our artists started off that way.
Yeah,
but they all ended
right back home.
Back home.
Yeah, because KB had a song named Promise Me One Time. It's crazy, that song. I used to sing the song. I said, man, I said, who's singing this? The first time I ever knew.
What's the song name?
Promise Me.
You know how that go?
I can't remember. Okay. That was a long time. But that's awesome.
You know you're older than me.
Yeah, that's an awesome one.
Okay.
You know,
I can ask him.
He did an excellent job on that.
Promise me. Promise me.
Boy, that was crazy.
I can text him.
That one, I think the album, Juicy Susie and all that.
Oh, okay.
That's because she fired it on that same album.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The original KB. Okay.
Yeah, but then KB showed right back home.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Because I think that's he's a Bohemian. That's in him.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of Bohemian can do that R&B now because you know he's versatile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Let's play one last song, and then we culminate by giving people how to get in contact with you. Mm-hmm. Kermit, find one more song, and then we'll just talk about Alan and how do I get in contact with him to perform and anything like that.
Right.
Oh, you want to play gambling again?
Yeah, I want to gamble. Well,
okay.
Let me finish.
Guess who's sitting right in front of me? Eating cheese and rice and macaroni. With turkey and ham and soup filet. And lobster tail and grouper on a plate.
It's now 12 o'clock. I want to thank Alan Russell for joining me. I hope to invite him back again to experience some of these songs. But in the meantime, how do one get in contact with you?
Okay, I have my email, and I'm on YouTube. I'm all over. And TikTok, you hit me up. You hit me up at HitSpot also if you want to get my album and all my stuff. And like I say, I have my Instagram. It's out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm easy to find.
All Alan Russell.
Alan Russell.
Good.
Everything. All the stuff on YouTube. All the stuff on YouTube, TikTok. Instagram, I'm all over.
Okay, good.
Can't miss me.
So we'll go out with this one song here, Gambling, the hit now that Alan continues to sing.
Exactly, yeah.
Thank you very much for joining me. This is Guardian Radio AM.
I appreciate it.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Appreciate this.
No more. I was gambling. Scratch my head and hold my back when I hear the number called that way. I almost dropped with a heart attack when they say it didn't come that way. I play 6452.
96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.